Good evening, everybody. I make it 6:30 now, so we'll make a start. Welcome to tonight's meeting, the Scrutiny Committee Value for Money. We'll start with the agenda item one, apologies for absence. Monica.
We have apologies from Councillor Beach, Brady and Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you. Are there any other apologies that any members are aware of? Nope. Moving on to item two, declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest on the agenda from members present tonight? Item three, public minutes of the meeting from the 23rd of September 2021. Are there any comments or questions on these minutes? Nope. In which case then I will propose them. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Hudson, all in favour? All against? And any abstentions? Yep, so those are carried. And then the minutes of the second meeting held on the, of the audit meeting held on the 23rd of September 2021. Are there any comments or questions on those minutes? No. Again, I will propose, can I have a seconder for those, please? Councillor Gaskin. All those in favour? Yep, all those against? And any abstentions? Okay. Thank you, those are also carried. Moving on to item four, urgent business to consider. To consider if there's any urgent business brought forward to the Audit Committee under Rule 12. I don't believe there has been any, is there?
No, Chair, there isn't.
Thank you. So moving on to item five, this is the Mid-Year Treasury Management Report, at which point I will hand over to the Chief Accountant to present the report.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the Mid-Year Treasury Management Report for the current financial year. It's the second of three routine reports in relation to Treasury management that the committee and then full council receive each year. And the purpose is to provide an update against the approved Treasury management strategy, including a brief update on the economic background, a review of the Treasury strategy, including Treasury management prudential indicators, the current investment and borrowing portfolios, and any other Treasury issues. So we start by looking at economic background, and this is covered in section three of the report with more detail in the appendices. Obviously, you will know from the news, the COVID vaccines have had a significant impact in terms of boosting confidence and a return to some sort of normality. However, worldwide supply shortages, higher inflation is impacting on the economy. This raises the prospect of potential increases in the bank base rate earlier than had perhaps previously been expected. These factors impact on the Council's medium-term financial strategy, with higher inflation increasing costs and putting pressure on the budget, but also with potential increases in the bank rate having a positive impact in terms of investment returns, or potentially so. More detail in terms of the economy and the background is set out in section three of the report. In terms of the Treasury management strategy, this was approved in February 2021, and it set out that our investment priorities, the security of capital, liquidity, and the achievement of optimum returns commensurate with the proper levels of security and liquidity, as we are required to follow as a local authority. Borrowing and investments have been in line with the strategy during the course of the first half of the year, and we've operated within Treasury and Prudential indicators as set out in Annex 1. The strategy incorporates, as you'll recall, in line with the medium-term financial strategy, voluntary repayments of debt, resulting in savings to the revenue budget. However, the timing of these receipts remains uncertain. But overall, the approved strategy remains fit for purpose. In terms of the investment position at the end of September, investment stood at 60.8 million, and these are outlined in Annex 2 to the report. Average returns during the first half of the year at just 0.06%, reflecting market conditions. Obviously, this is linked to the emergency COVID-19 base rate cuts, and market investment rates have remained at an unprecedented low level. However, returns are marginally below the budget, which was set at 0.07%, but nevertheless outperforming the benchmark. We continue to use UK Treasury bills and the government deposit account, as well as some certificates of deposit, with UK government and other institutions offering significant counterparty strength, as well as fixed deposits with UK banks and, where opportunities arise, other local authorities and AAA-rated money market funds. In terms of the borrowing position at the end of September, again, this is fairly static. So borrowing stood at 11 million, with the capital financing requirement being our underlying need to borrow, estimated at 15 million at the end of the year. This is higher than was originally anticipated when we set the strategy. However, this is due to the timing of capital receipts associated with that debt repayment. No new external borrowing has been undertaken during the course of the first 6 months of the year, and none is planned for this year. However, rates will be monitored closely, and of course any actions taken will be reported as part of the annual report and quarterly finance updates. In terms of other Treasury matters, the report outlines that we have received the 23rd and final dividend payment in relation to the investment in the Icelandic bank KSF. This means overall recovery at 87% is in line with the allowance previously made in the accounts. And once this report and the quarter two report has gone through the cycle, then the Icelandic bank, that's the final time we'll be reporting on that. Yes, indeed. In terms of the recommendation, the recommendation is to consider the mid-year Treasury Management Report as set out in Appendix A and make comments and observations to full council as the committee sees fit. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Chair.
Thank you for that, Lisa. I think overall a broadly positive mid-year Treasury Management Report, given the context and uncertainties surrounding COVID, and I think it's positive to see the conclusion of the Icelandic Bank outstanding payments there. Are there any questions or comments by members on the mid-year Treasury Management Report? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. So it's looking like, although it looks like a fairly decent plan, we have obviously have to think of the base rate of the Bank of England going up and continuing to go up past that 0.25% it's gone up to in February. Is this a sort of on the radar for the council, especially when it's looking at the variable rates, we have the 4.3 million that we owe in the variable rate borrowing?
So in terms of borrowing, are you thinking perhaps we could repay some of that borrowing and take advantage? Obviously, that's something that we do monitor regularly, and we've received that question many times over the course of the last few years. Unfortunately, the premiums attached to repaying debt are extremely high, which means the business case simply isn't viable to do that. The lenders purposely do that because obviously they're gaining from those interest rates and they don't want to lose the value. But it is something that we do monitor with our treasury management advisors, external treasury management advisors, and should an opportunity to arise to do that, then we'd certainly be looking to do so.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So at this current point in time, the advice is to it's cheaper than to keep borrowing at the same rate than to suffer the penalties that is trying to repay some of that borrowing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. So we're looking to maintain the borrowing, and our strategy at the moment is that when that borrowing matures at the present time, because of the actions that the council has taken, we shouldn't need to replace that borrowing.
Thank you, Councillor Hadley. Are there any other questions from members or comments? Councillor Grosvenor?
Thanks. I've got to say, with regards to the Icelandic bank investments, I'm really delighted to see the end of those. As someone who was on cabinet when that started, in fact, it started under the former leader, Alex Fox, so I was delighted that that's coming to an end. Can I ask a question with regards to capital receipts? Clearly, a contract that we had with a developer of Bargates was such that upon a successful planning application being granted, that we would receive a receipt for certainly phase one of the land. Have we had any receipts yet from Jessops for Bargates? And if not, can you tell me when we anticipate getting some capital receipts for that plot of land now that successful plan application has been granted?
So no, we've not had any receipts as yet. It's possible that we might get a receipt in this financial year, so that is built into the forecast. But obviously, as I said in the presentation, there is a degree of uncertainty.
Thank you for that, Councillor Grosvenor. Any further questions or comments from councillors?
Nope.
At which point then, I will propose that as a committee, we recommend the findings of the mid-year Treasury Management Report to full council. Can I have a seconder for that? Councillor Sylvester. All those in favour? All those against? Yep. And any abstentions? Thank you very much. That recommendation is carried and will go forward to full council. Moving on to item 6, this is the report into the national scheme for the appointment of external auditors for a 5-year period from 2023-24. At which point I will hand over to Lisa again, who will present the report.
Thank you, Chair. So the current contract for external audit, which was led through the national scheme, coordinated by public sector audit appointments, which is referenced as PSAA, is due to expire in March 2023. Now, PSAA are now undertaking a procurement exercise for the next period from 23-24 through to 2027-28. And local authorities like ourselves are once again have the option to join and take advantage of the national scheme or undertake a procurement exercise themselves. Section 3 of the report concludes that the sector-wide approach conducted by PSAA will once again produce better outcomes and be far less burdensome for the council. And the main reasons for that is collective procurement reduces costs. A local procurement exercise would require the establishment of our own auditor panel, which would be made up of an independent chair and independent members, i.e. entirely independent of the council, to oversee the procurement and contract management. It's the best opportunity to secure a suitably accredited audit firm. There are currently only 9 eligible firms able to bid. And finally, opting into the national scheme provides the maximum opportunity to ensure that fees are as realistic as possible and by benefiting from the economies of scale that a joint approach, joint procurement approach delivers. A decision to opt in must be made by full council by the 11th of March next year, with contract awards expected to be made around August next year. The report therefore recommends that the committee recommend to full council that it accepts the PSAA invitation to opt into the sector-led option for the procurement of external auditors for principal local government and police bodies for the 5 years from April 2023. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Chair.
Thank you, Lisa. I think reading the report, it's essentially a continuation of the scheme that was adopted previously by the council. And then the recommendation here is that we continue it on with that scheme. I think one of the things that kind of comes out from this is that whilst there are challenges around the auditing processes we've seen recently with the fact that ours was delayed as well, that they're kind of sector-wide issues, and that the purpose of this scheme is almost separate to those challenges that are being dealt with by the government and the recent recommendations into those in the national reports. With that, are there any comments or questions from members present for Lisa? Councillor Chowdhury.
I think I understand why the council wants to take the route which has been suggested and go into the kind of national scheme, but without really knowing the costs of other alternatives, how do we know that that is the best option? I mean, we need, surely, to make that decision, we need more information.
I suppose the reasons are outlined in the report, Councillor Chowdhury. By undertaking a joint procurement exercise, you are benefiting from the economies of scale. The local audit market is such that there are very few bidders able to undertake the work, and they are under considerable amount of strain and therefore may not necessarily bid for the work. So by being in a collective procurement exercise, you are benefiting from being able to acquire a suitably qualified auditor.
But surely, without having all the information, you can't really make that unequivocal statement. You know, that's what you think might happen, but we don't have the information to actually, you know, say for certain that is the case.
Carrying out our own procurement exercise, as I said at the start, would be incredibly burdensome for the council. And a national approach is clearly the best way forward. The other viable option would be to do a joint procurement exercise, perhaps with Staffordshire authorities, would make it more viable, but appetite for that has already been tested, and there was no appetite.
Are there any other questions or comments by members? No. At which point, I think Councillor tried to make some valid points, but I think given the context of the report and the information there, I think the recommendation still stands. And I would propose that we accept the recommendations of the report to recommend that full council accepts the public sector audit appointments invitation to opt into the sector-led option for the appointment of external auditors for local governments. So I will propose that. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Sylvester, all those for the accepting the recommendation? All those against? And any abstentions? No, thank you. So that motion is carried and will again go forward to full council. So moving on to the next item on the agenda, that is the scrutiny review updates, so at which point I will hand over to James to give an update on the scrutiny reviews.
Thanks, Jess. So as we know, we've got four reviews on the go at the moment, with four different subgroups looking at four different subject areas. So just running through those one by one. First one is waste management. So as we know, this is looking at reviewing value for money in the delivery of the council's waste management function, associated approaches to ensure, you know, effective waste collection, recycling and disposal. In the last few days, the report's been finalised and agreed by the subgroup, so should be coming forward to the December committee meeting. But we will, of course, as we've spoken about previously, be working with the other committee between now and then to confirm their timeline and to bring forward the two reviews in a coordinated and aligned manner, as I say, was mentioned previously. So that's essentially complete and we'll be coming forward to full committee shortly. In terms of mayoralty, this review is looking at the relevance and value for money of the council's mayoral function. We're at a position where there's a well-progressed working draft of the report with the that's with the subgroup at the moment for any comments, and we'll be meeting in the near future to consider the next steps, including analysing a short benchmarking exercise that we've undertaken and start to consider any recommendations, etc., to go into the final report. So again, that's fairly close to completion, I would think. The other two reviews, as we've mentioned previously, they're kind of in their infancy, relatively speaking, to those two that I've already mentioned, but the ICT infrastructure review has had a scoping paper drafted and, you know, following input from the subgroup members. And similarly, the DFG review subgroup, they've met in the last week or two to review the scoping paper that was drafted by the previous subgroup before the committee changes that we'd had in terms of the membership. And that, again, has been drafted for members to consider, and we'll be meeting with relevant technical officers as soon as possible to take that one forward over the next couple of weeks. But it's likely that those two reviews are likely to be closer to the end of the financial year for their completion. But some good progress across all four reviews. With that, I'll pass back to you, Chair, for any comments on progress or the wider programme.
Thank you for that, James. I suppose a comment on the waste management one is that in the other scrutiny committee, that report is similarly coming to a close soon. The final recommendation of that report, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, myself and the officer team, and with the Colin Wildman, the chair of the other committee, to discuss the best approach of how to bring those forward to the next scrutiny. It will either be in the form of a single combined report, or as two separate reports that go through together to each of those committees. But that's for the members of the subgroups to have a subsequent meeting and decide on that. Whichever way that the process for that one is taken forward, if it is one single report or two separate reports with complementary recommendations, I'll also ensure that in the instance of the two separate reports, that secondary one from the other committee comes as background reading as part of that before we make a decision on the one for this one as well. In terms of timelines of the current reports we've got, so the ambition would be that I think we should be in a position to complete the mayor review and the mayoralty review into next year and bring that forward. And then with the other two, the ICT infrastructure and the DFG ones, to look to try and complete those before the end of this financial year. I think the one that might go longer than that is the DFG one, just because it is such a big topic and that we don't want to rush the findings of that one through. With that then, I will hand over to if there's any comments, questions, or if any of the scrutiny leads wish to give any updates or information on those. No? Councillor Grosvenor?
Yes, thanks. In terms of the waste review, being as I was on both scrutiny committees when this came forward, and I sort of made an initial recommendation that it was done separately by two scrutiny committees because I thought it was such a big topic, and also, you know, both scrutinies have a different terms of reference, so they could look at different aspects of it. That's absolutely, I think, the right way to go. But I know the subgroups have got to decide on the way they bring it forward. My recommendation on that would be you bring a single report forward because it adds more weight to the actual review, it makes more weight to the recommendations, and then it isn't duplicating, which I know was some concern from some members, especially Councillor Sankey at the time, that it would be duplicating effort. I think if you bring in two reports, two committees, that does duplicate effort. Then my recommendation would be one single report, and that would add more weight to it, and it doesn't duplicate the effort. And that's just all I've got to say on that comment.
No, thank you for those comments. Much appreciated. Are there any other comments on these? So the other thing then, in terms of the wider scrutiny review and updates, one of the things that we did when I was chair of the other committee is we built up basically a roadmap of the reviews we had ongoing so that we could keep track of them, but then also created kind of a backlog of reviews that we wanted to eventually look at as a committee. It meant then that when reviews completed, we had we could either introduce new ones or we did have kind of a backlog of things that we could select from. There's also instances where we've had previous reports or there are wider council reports that recommend that either that the scrutiny committee picks up a subsequent report on those. I think one of the recent examples for this committee would be in regards to the car parking review that was completed a couple of years ago that recommended that once we had more data behind the parking app, that this scrutiny committee re-looks at that. So the purpose of this backlog of scrutiny committees would be to, one, keep track of one's areas that we want to look at, as well as keeping track of those areas that come out from recommendations, so that we've got that as part of the minutes and open and transparent for members as well. So my ask from you as members would be that if there are any areas that you want to consider we add to that backlog, to either email them to myself or Monica, and that we can bring them forward to the next meeting in December with those ideas to have a discussion and hopefully sign off on the waste review at the same time. Are there any comments or questions on that one before I move on? Nope. Perfect. At which point then we will go on to item seven, the public executive decision records. So I believe it is just the two for the public executive decision records. Are there any questions or comments members would like to make on either of those? No. Perfect. Moving on then to item nine. So questions. So I don't believe we received any new questions to this committee. But we have received the information from a supplementary question that Councillor Grosvenor asked following the last scrutiny meeting. I'll just give you all a few moments to have a read of that. And then off the back of that supplementary question and answer, are there any comments or questions from members? Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, just thanks for the supplementary answer, whoever provided it. Look forward to the final results in spring 2022 on the success or otherwise of the campaign that was taken out on the radio. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Councillor Grosvenor. So the date of our next meeting is Thursday the 16th of December. And with that, I will move on that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act indicated in the brackets before each item number on the agenda.